He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And we had a short-lived rally, and it's fading quickly. As I looked at it this morning, I said, you know, this isn't very good. I don't think it's going to last long, especially the NASDAQ. Well, I guess I was right with those early observations. The Dow up 32 right now, but it was up over 200. Not sure why. Situation has not really changed overnight. We'll talk about that in a bit. The S&P is up 8 points right now. It's at 43.12. It's getting very close to some critical support levels, technical support levels on the downside, as is the Dow. And as is the NASDAQ, which is now just up a meager 7 points at 13,389. We'll talk about the death cross, too, in the NASDAQ last Friday, what that means. The Russell 2000 hanging in there a little bit. It's up 17 points. So far, in my early observations, it's the energy sector that is doing the best. And you've got oil up today again. Record gasoline prices in California. Oil is at $92.45 today, up 50 cents. And at least as I looked about 15 minutes ago, it was the oil stocks that were the strongest. Gold down 250. Silver's up just 3 cents. The 10-year moving up 1.99. That's one of the reasons you're seeing tech sell off. And it's a reason that you're seeing the financials and in particular the bank stocks move up higher today. And last but not least, Bitcoin up $623 to $38,690. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Barry, it was very comforting yesterday to have a pretty good stack of inverse funds in our deck of cards, and that staved off the big sell-off that occurred in the market yesterday. The Dow was down 483 points yesterday, and you know, Barry, I show those charts every week in the newsletter. That's a very important portion of the newsletter. That Dow is entering into some very, very critical technical support. Did you get a chance to look at those charts over the weekend?
Yeah, I did. I mean, and I think the S&P kind of officially has hit correction territory.
Yes.
But yeah, having the defense, you know, having that defense on the field and then also being exposed in terms of where we're taking, you know, long exposure, having that, you know, to me, having that in those commodity-based names or energy, you know, some of the energy-based names, you know, are kind of the 1-2 combination, at least at the moment, right? To get a little counterpunch in, right? So you play a little defense, and then you know, that's kind of the counterpunch piece of the portfolio at the moment.
That's our theme, you know. Every once in a while, back into the corner with maybe a black eye or so, and my manager tells me, go back out there. You've got the 1-2 punch, the right one. Well, others are getting bloodied. I mean, they are just getting bloodied right now. If you are long 100%, and especially in the tech, you are just getting bloodied right now. I wouldn't want that to happen. S&P nearing very critical support right now, but the real weakness is the NASDAQ. There goes. The market just went negative after an anemic rally, an attempt at a rally this morning. The NASDAQ, that was a death cross last Friday. That's when the 50-day moving average crosses below the 200-day moving average. And there's a lot of people like me a lot of people that watch the stock charts, and when they see that death cross, of course, the NASDAQ's been headed towards a death cross for quite some time. I mean, we started lightening up on the NASDAQ over 1 year ago, back at the beginning of February last year when interest rates first started to march higher. And we warned you that the NASDAQ and tech stocks in particular, and high PE stocks even more particularly, are not a good place to be in a rising interest rate environment. I think that was, our warning has, if you heeded it, you love us. If you didn't, you hate us. Well, what are we saying now? Well, we'll talk about that today. The NASDAQ's all-time high was 16,058. And now you're clear down to 13,374. That is, I think, 20% plus loss in the NASDAQ. But some of the high-flying NASDAQ funds are now down 50 to 60%. They've been in a bear market for quite some time. You've got the oil stocks looking pretty good here today. Gold is flat, and you've got these stocks that benefit from higher interest rates, rising interest rates, at least early in the day when I looked. They were doing rather well today. And, of course, our inverse funds, I'm telling you what, they're breaking out to the upside. Yesterday, PSQ, which is inverse the NASDAQ, broke out. We have also a QID, which is double inverse the NASDAQ. Now, I don't want these things to break out, you know, for the good of the world and the good of the markets and the economy. But you know what? You got to own them right now. And we have for several months. And they are helping in a large way.
Check out Sark.
Sark has been breaking out.
That chart is, you know, unbelievable.
Amazing. And, you know, SH, which is inverse the S&P 500, SDS, which is double inverse the S&P 500, there's many. You know, there's not very many people. I listen to different shows and watch different channels all throughout the day. I don't hear anybody talking about having some inverse funds in your portfolios right now. And, in fact, Vanguard won't even allow you to have inverse funds. I was listening to one of the big guys that comes on at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He says, my subscribers are really getting upset with me because I only hold 20% cash. Well, that means he's got the other 80% invested in the market, and knowing him, he's pretty, you know, inclined to invest in tech stocks. He's getting clobbered. Why in the world doesn't anybody mention inverse funds? Well, you know, that's the name of the show these days, Best Stocks Now and Best Inverse Funds Now. It's just like buying a hedge, I know, you know. The oil companies do it all the time. The airline companies do it all the time. They hedge their fuel cost by buying options or other contracts on oil. And I just don't understand. Well, okay, I guess it's our best-kept secret. We try to not make it a secret. We try to educate people. But they're coming in quite handy at a time like this. All right. The Russia-Ukraine situation. There's two ways that this could go here. And I'm afraid that it's going to be scenario number two. I listened to a lot of analysis yesterday on this situation and last night. And it would seem that either Putin has what he wants, which he got quite easily. He annexed those two areas, like he did Crimea several years ago. Now he's got two more very strategic locations under his wing that are part of Ukraine. And everybody's just conceded that to him, and they slapped some sanctions on him. But I don't think that's a heavy price to pay. Now, the question is, Barry, is he going to go further into Ukraine and take the entire Ukraine? Of course, Ukraine thinks he is, because I can't believe that they're declaring a state of emergency today. It seems like they should have done it several months ago, you know?
Yeah, it's like when
everybody,
it's like when the hurricane's bearing down on you, right? It's 2 days out, right? That's when the emergency, you know, it goes.
Yeah.
that's when they call emergency powers, not as the hurricane's coming on shore.
No, but I think maybe that's why the market futures were up, is the market is hoping that Putin is done and he's got what he wants, and now it's back to business as usual. In the meantime, he has 140,000 troops there on the border and does not look right now like he is backing off. And I can tell you some of the fallout from this. Wheat, W-E-A-T, which is an ETF, wheat futures, wheat prices are soaring. Well, there's that inflation equation. And I just saw a tweet, Barry, that we now have 33 ships backed up at the Charleston port.
Right,
and
I heard that yesterday.
Yeah, and they're not going to have it cleared until April or May. So I think inflation is with us for a while. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, besides the escalating tension between Moscow and Kyiv, Wall Street is also dealing with a surge in inflation. You know, the PPI in Germany was 25% over the weekend, and the odds of a 50 basis point hike come, what, in a few weeks here, have gone up to 35%, 1 in 3 chance. And economists are now warning that inflation could even top 10% with no relief in sight. And we're seeing it at the gas pump. We're seeing it at the supermarket. We're seeing it everywhere. The average price of gas now in California, $4.74. Premium is $5.06. So, once again, California leads the nation. $4.74. You know, there's a lot of these big SUVs. They got a pretty big tank on them, Barry.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big chunk of money. Some of these big dually tire trucks and stuff like that. I was watching, I watch a certain fishing guide here in our neck of the woods, and he posted a picture on Facebook. He was filling up. He launches his boat every day, but he has big dual outboard engines and a contender boat that does about 50 miles an hour to get him out to the fishing grounds. But he was showing a picture of the gas pump and how many gallons he put in,
yeah,
which is 300. He holds 300 gallons. And so, you know, look, to fill his boat, $1,100 or so these days. And he says, of course, if he was in California, it'd be $1,500. And he's going to pass that along as a way of, you know, a little extra on your bill, a surcharge on your bill.
Yeah. Well, talking about that backup at the port here in Charleston, I was talking to a trucking owner here in town, and, you know, basically their trucks get roughly 4 to 5 miles a gallon, right, and diesel fuel. And of course diesel has has risen in part of that, you know, in terms of just, you know, and they're just in town, right, moving one sea can right over to a different place, not doing tons of miles in a day. But when you're talking an extra dollar on top of diesel fuel, right, it's it's the biggest cost that they deal with, whether you're a fishing guide or a trucking company.
Yeah, diesel in California, $5.03, and I noticed we topped $4 here in South Carolina, and you've seen how many trucks line up to unload these big freighters coming in. And let's not forget how much diesel do those freighters burn coming from China. to South Carolina.
Right, yes.
How much do cruise ships burn? Jet fuel, it's a big, big problem. And it's a major component of the inflation equation in the CPI index and the PPI index. Well, and then you've got rising interest rates on top of that. Mortgage applications decreased 13%, the lowest for the last over 2 years. So that's also, you know, a problem. The lenders and buying a home. Not only are you getting hit with about a $20,000 extra price on a new home because of lumber prices soaring.
Right, we hit you're that gonna with have the PPI.
Yeah, and you're going to have to pay more now to get a mortgage, a lot more. They're nowhere down there in the – there was a time there when they were under 3%, not anymore. And that's also going to put a lot of housing out of, you know, range of a lot of people that can't afford it. Now, okay, now we got to go to Germany. Germany yesterday froze, and the U.S., froze the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And now they're in a heck of a mess, okay? Energy security is dominating climate action as the prospects of a war involving Russia rattles the energy markets. Germany on Tuesday halted the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is designed to double the amount of its gas imports. But here's the rub. This is after Germany made the decision to phase out nuclear power in 2011 and discontinue coal power by 2030. With Germany now relying on Russia for 55% of its gas imports, fear of an energy crisis are growing, as well as increasing worries that crude could even hit $100 per barrel. Well, I don't know about this decision to get 50% of their gas from Russia, but they did it, and now they're not going to be getting that gas from the Nord 2 pipeline, and a lot of countries are starting to talk about energy independence again. But you've got climate change up against that. Wheat futures soar as conflict could risk 15 million tons of Black Sea exports. I know Russia's the world's fourth biggest producer of wheat. You know, I was teaching my grandkids the other day. I gave them a quiz. What things come from wheat? Well, you know, tortillas, bread, donuts, cookies. I mean, it just went on and on and on. And if the European Union is counted as a single producer, a blockade of Ukraine could jeopardize large amounts of exports from Black Sea ports. Now, I know that the Middle East and Europe gets about half of their wheat from Ukraine. And any disruption, you know, look, Putin's going to fight back. He's not happy with the sanctions being placed on him. He's warning, or we're being warned, of cyber attacks in America on the banks, the stock market, whatever else, you know, the internet. But any disruption in the wheat supply could lead to soaring prices for bread. For bread, wow, wheat delivery ended plus 6% yesterday, $808.52 half per bushel on the CBOT. Wheat prices soaring. You can look at the ETF, WEAT, and what is going on. And it's not just wheat, it's also corn, soybeans. And if there's an ETF called DBC, which is hitting a new all-time high today, DBC is an aggregate commodity index that trades as an ETF. You see how there's a good side of the street, for investors at least, and a really bad side of the street that you don't want to be on right now, high PE stocks. I see that ARC is now down 60% since its high 1 year ago. 60%. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today, or second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Best inverse ETFs now. The inverse ETFs are starting to move to the upside once again with the Dow down 81, S&P down 11 right now. And that NASDAQ is now down 41. The NASDAQ is now down just over 16% from its all-time high. So at 20... 15 is correction territory. 20 starts to become bear territory. You have that cross, the death cross of the 50-day moving below the 200-day the other day. And I was just looking at some of the last four-letter symbols that were holding up. Okay, you know, Tesla's breaking down horribly. Okay, it's breaking below its 200-day moving average. It's down $16 per share today. And it has one last bit of support. Tesla's gone from 1243 to 806. 1243 to 806. That is a drop of 35%. Remember when Elon was selling last December? He picked a pretty good time to be unloading.
Pretty good exit point, huh?
Yes, it was. And even with a 35% drop in the stock, Tesla's PE ratio as of right now is 121. And you know where we've been saying to draw the line on PE ratios, around 16 or so. So 121. Tesla would have to go a lot lower. It'd have to go to about 150 or 160 somewhere in there to reach that kind of a PE ratio for us. But that's not a good chart on Tesla at all. We've been looking at two big items. Relative strength on Tesla is now 83. It's weakening, and PE 121. We're looking for stocks that have a relative strength or momentum grade of A or better. Let's call it A or better. I think I have about 50 such stocks today to look at. They're mostly coming from the oil patch. A couple big movers there today. And Tesla, with its PE of 121, we're looking at 16 or less. That's one of the last men standing, really, on the NASDAQ. Now, there might be a few others. I can't really think of any offhand. I mean, when the leaders like this start to fall, I think the NASDAQ is going to continue to be in trouble going forward. The biotechs, to me, that's a good area to pick on. With the inverse funds, biotechs are the very epitome of long-duration stocks, and there are several ways to pick on that sector of the market through inverse funds. The inflation picture, let's not forget, too, the disruption in Canada that we had is also going to be felt for weeks, especially in the auto sector. In the auto sector, which you still have a huge backlog, a huge shortage of chips. There's a couple deals that have happened this week in the auto sector. Yesterday, Meritor was bought out. Today, I see that Tenneco, auto supply companies, is being bought out by Apollo Global Management. So there's some consolidation taking place there.
Get a lot of lumber from Canada as well.
So lumber prices are soaring.
Another
$20,000 extra now on the price of a new home because of lumber prices.
And have you seen the gold stocks today?
The Gold Stocks are also having a good day. Let's check it out. And I've been saying that gold, if you're looking for those high relative strength, A or A-plus momentum, the Gold Stocks have now entered into that territory. Gold likes geopolitical concerns. And let's not forget, you know, in the background, the U.S. is negotiating with Iran on starting them up with the Iran nuclear deal. That's kind of in the background. I read about that, you know, in the Jerusalem Post and other papers around the world. There's a lot going on right now, and I just feel like I feel good being wrapped in the warm blanket of some of these inverse funds.
GFI now, today is up, you know, 4.5%.
Well, we
gold's
own
only
that
up,
one.
You know, roughly about that, and that's how it showed up on my list.
Bang!
And I mean, I'm looking
breaking
at,
out.
Yeah, I'm looking
nice.
At you know, gold prices up. You know, up just a few, handful of basis points today. But the actual miners, like GFI, up over 4.5%, which is pretty opposite of everything else that's going on in the market.
Yes,
today.
And the fertilizer stocks moving higher, up 1.4%. Maybe I'll convert my lawn to wheat. Now we've always been big believers. I make homemade bread, so I grind my own wheat if push comes to shove, you know. Fresh bread, there's nothing like fresh ground wheat and fresh baked bread out of the oven. Overstock.com. Here's the problem though, you know, it's up big today and it's starting to fade. It's up 23%. This has been a lousy stock over the years, and you look at the chart of it, it's terrible. I think there's been a few of those online retailers, Overstock and Mercado Libre down in South America. They're having a little bounce today, but, man, I have no interest in those whatsoever. Let's check in on Amazon.
Mercado has some. They have some exposure to Russia. So you've got to think. There was a list yesterday from J.P. Morgan that just, you know, kind of named off some different stocks that had, you know, more Russian exposure. And some of them you wouldn't even think of. It's just some of their business happens to to take place in Russia, and I believe they were one of those that were on the list.
Well, I would think that the cybersecurity stocks might be worth a look, but they're just too dang expensive. They're high PE stocks. I'm looking at Amazon. That's a horrible chart. That is a horrible chart on Amazon. It's below 3,000 again. It was at 3,762. I still hear people coming on, oh, yeah, these tech stocks, they're going to rebound. This is a good buying point. I'd be all over these stocks. We're buying this stock today here at our – I just do not agree at all. I like to buy strength. I don't like to buy weakness, and I don't like to buy on the way down. And with the rising interest rate environment, Amazon is not cheap with the P.E. ratio of 46. And we've been making that same argument about AMD, which has a lousy chart. P.E. ratio of 41 for a chip stock. That's trouble. T.J. Maxx, I think that was a big whiff there. Let's see how T.J. Maxx is kind of a, look at that. That's a bellwether stock. Kind of for the bricks and mortar. You know, back to school, the discount end of the market, the Ross stores. Look at that chart. It's just plunging.
Well, and less inventory. I've read a good bit, and same thing with Overstock, similar. But, you know, the long-term problem has been for them is, you know, they get overflow, right, from other from other retailers. And the fact that supply has been, you know, so tight versus demand, they don't have, you know, they haven't had as much stuff to sell, and whatever they are selling or reselling, right? Some of their costs have gone up in terms of some of the overstock, right, that they're trying to part ways with. But it's not an easy business for them. Plus, on top of that, like you said, brick and mortar, some Omicron lag there for them.
And the cost to ship even discount goods to them, all their costs, they're suffering from inflation. Teladoc hitting a new 52-week low today, down 1.2%. Here's a stock that was 308. 308. We sold it around 250 or something like that. It's at 64. From 308 to 64. Now, I learned from where I came from, where I come from, I learned a long time ago that you have to have some kind of sell discipline. It's down 80%. It's down 80% from its high. And certain well-known investors still own this stock and have ridden it down 80%. That just makes no sense to me at all. But, you know, that's to each his own. All right, Teladoc reports earnings. You know, the whole telehealth thing, I'm a believer in it, but it's a crowded field now. And even your local doctor and your local health care providers are all, you know, making telehealth available. Do you want a virtual appointment or do you want to come in and sit in a waiting room with everybody coughing and sneezing? That's an easy choice. But the telehealth stocks are not what they were during the whole pandemic. What is working? I see quite a bit, actually. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show as the market continues to retreat, which it has been for the better part of this year, 2022, the Dow down 83 points. First it was the Fed and rising interest rates. Now you throw the Ukraine situation on top, and that's making the inflation situation worse, especially with two of your basics of life, wheat and oil, okay, and a big part of that CPI equation. And obviously the Fed is going to have to take action to try to curb inflation and try to keep our economy going at the same time. That's a tight wire, a tightrope that they're going to have to walk. But there's always a sunny side of the street. Obviously, the inverse funds have been doing very well for us. A lot of them were breaking out yesterday. But we'll go to the long side here of the market. There's also some good areas of the market there also. Some areas that would seem quite obvious. You know, you don't have to own tech stocks. You don't have to own futuristic type companies and whatnot. There's a whole nother group of stocks that the economy runs on a daily basis for the most part. So here's just a few that we'll mention. You've got the oil stocks are definitely the leaders today, and we'll put them through our test of the P/E ratio versus the relative strength. Let's put BTU under the spotlight here. BTU is a, I told you that coal is all of a sudden, people are going, wait a minute, you know, we can't run the economy right now on just wind and solar. And now that you've got, get natural gas prices and everything. So there's this little gap. Maybe your morals won't let you invest in coal. That's up to you. But BTU is Peabody Energy. Relative strength of 99 or an A-plus in my system. Everything's working in the Best Stocks Now app, by the way. BestStocksNowApp.com. It's all free for a couple of weeks. All 6,200 stocks are there. Focus in on that momentum grade. There's about 50 today. And focus in on those PE and forward PE ratios. BTU, relative strength 99, PE ratio of 7. They're engaged in coal production. Now, who would have ever thought, but there's a very unique set of circumstances in the world right now, globally, where this Russian situation has only made it even worse. And your electric bills are soaring in the U.S. and Europe is in a big pickle because not only are natural gas prices soaring, Putin controls most of the natural gas going to them, and they're decommissioning their nuclear power plants. What does that leave? Wind, solar, and coal. Okay. All right, let's go to another one here. This will come from the oil patch. The streets of Laredo. Remember that one, Barry? Wasn't there a song? The streets of Laredo. There's Laredo Petroleum, LPI.
The streets of Philadelphia.
The streets of Philadelphia. Yeah, that was a different one. Wasn't that
was.
Hall & Oates or something? Laredo Petroleum is up 12.1% today. On four times normal volume, relative strength 97. There's only 3% of stocks out there doing better than it, and its P/E ratio is 8. It's in the Permian Basin, oil, natural gas in West Texas, Laredo Petroleum (LPI). Actually, it's in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but that's where they are getting their oil, down in West Texas in the Permian Basin. Laredo Petroleum is up 12.1%. Now, I've said before, you don't have to buy individual stocks to get exposure. There's a lot of these little oil stocks like this that are breaking loose right now. There's DIG. DIG is an ETF that is double the oil sector. There's IYE, which is one time the oil sector. It's a big, massive ETF. There's IEO, I think, that is the oil and gas, you know, the field, the equipment stocks, the drillers, the rigs, the people that repair, that kind of thing, which is a little different. But they all kind of move in unison. They all track oil prices and the conditions for oil around the world. There's mutual funds, you know, a Fidelity Energy Fund. A lot of people have 401ks at work. And they have a broad range of choices. The Vanguard family has energy funds. Natural resource funds, which have all of it in there, you know, and they have basic commodity types of mutual funds, which have wheat and soybeans and oil and gasoline and all kinds of different commodities in there. That's one of the areas that's favorable right now. We have a very, very unique set of circumstances. And while some are saying we don't have an inflationary problem, we have a deflationary problem, nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. We have a very bad inflationary problem, and it should be a big part of, it should dictate, it should have a pretty heavy weighting in how you're managing your portfolio right now. If you're managing your portfolio on the thought that we have a deflation problem, I mean, you're completely in the wrong stuff right now. All right, we're out of time. Look at that. I had a couple more, but they come from the oil patch, which is one of the favorable places to be invested, especially in an inflationary environment and an environment that is anti-oil. There's got to be a bridge, you know, to the renewables that's going to take a long while to build. And in the meantime, you've got Russia, one of the biggest producers of oil in the world, that's certainly going to lash out because of the sanctions that have been put on them. You got to think about their next move. Well, what is your money manager doing for you? I don't know. I don't know. I think we lay it all on the line here every single day, you know, trying to protect on the one side and trying to make money from whatever situation is thrown at us. That's why we're active, not passive. GundersonCapital.com. Start off with the newsletter, 2 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com, or call us. Make an emergency appointment, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.